Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Welcome again. It's the Von Wehhunt and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Fantastic radio show tonight. Epic episode 20. They star date of December the 6th, 2022. Now our hard-hitting political show will, of course, be this Thursday. But many of you can't get on that show due to it being so popular. So this is a show where you can chime in. But keep in mind, this is our fun show of the month. This is our cool show. Every month, first Tuesday, we launch the show, talk about dating, relationships. We'll throw in some politics, some economy, some current and world events. But mainly it's designed on how it affects the man in America. The bachelor out there in the cities, the towns, the country, the gridirons of America, etc. Well, onwards to the bachelor empire, and may God always save, I say, the bachelor king. We're pushing the holidays. A lot of you guys are tight on cash, I know. It's layoff city out there for some folks, corporate America and elsewhere. You've been listening to me for a little while. I've been telling you guys, get ahead of the game. Get a second or third job if you need to. Save some money. Get ahead. Don't just get by. But so we'll talk about all that on the show. We'll have a good time. We'll have a few laughs. We'll have some fun tonight. We'll take some interesting calls. We'll talk about toxic masculinity. When your girlfriend's getting serious or not, we'll talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Because I pride myself on having a radio variety show. Welcome, America, to the Space Age Bachelor Pad. And our blog talk radio show tonight. We're so glad that you're here. Oh, yes, this is a Von Wehhunt show production tonight. And no, we are not broadcasting from Iran or the Congo And we might be broadcasting from the jungles of Vietnam. Who knows? Or from the war front in Ukraine. God forbid. Now we're broadcasting from the mountains of Arizona. We're high and dry. And we are watching the world unfold and burn all around us, right? Well, as a bachelor in America, there's a war on men in this country, especially men of white European descent. The war on men continues. Corporate America, from the government, from your employer. Your wish should be your command in this country. Well, this show is for all creeds, all cultures, all the men in America that have not yet gotten hitched. We'll talk about the pros and cons, staying single, about your own personal economy. Remember that when your neighbor is laid off, it's a recession. When you're laid off from work, it's an economic depression. Never forget that. Hopefully you're doing well. You're doing well. And get out the bar. Get out a drink. Kick back. Relax tonight. Tomorrow's hump day. In more ways than one. And, you know, you want to relax sometimes. Reflect. It's the holidays. Chill. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the holidays, man. Go to some good holiday parties. Have some fun. Be with your bros. Get a few drinks. Enjoy life once in a while. It's not all doom and gloom out there. I told you guys before, your life is what you make of it. You must take personal responsibility for your life. And to be very candid, in this planet, Earth, in the cosmos, in the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy that we find ourselves in, based on my hit book, you make your own heaven or hell in this universe and cosmos. Now, I am the author of the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's the retro and modern-day Bachelor Guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. It's a great book, easy read, big book, but with larger font, very easy to read, fun. Some real funny stories in there of my friends back in the day. Many good interviews, expats, people in the trenches of the workforce and their stories. Well, every week, every month, I get a lot of mail from you guys, and I appreciate that. We need to induct you properly into the Delta House fraternity, and tonight we will again start that ritual and our tradition here on the show.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
From now on, your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. From now on, your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes, every week We have a lot of new inductees of the show. We're glad you're here. I toast you all. I raise my goblet of wine and my stein of German beer to all of you tonight. I am wearing my red velvet smoking jacket with cigar in hand, mafioso style. We are ready to rock and roll as always. Well, tonight we got some good themes I thought up for the show. Things that are from my past, and I'm sure these are universal with all of you. Well, you had a girlfriend, I'm sure. And now last week we talked about the work wife, or last month, the work wife and the work husband. But now we're going to talk about moving on in our course curriculum for this semester. Today I'm your professor. When a woman that you're with, you've been dating her for a while, you've been having some good times, you've been buying her glasses of Chardonnay, having fun with her, going out for dinner, dancing, a movie every now and then, a cocktail here or there in town. But one day, you come home, and you notice there's some tension in the air. You notice there's a little rift. She's upset about something. You can't quite put your finger on it, man. You know what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing, she'll say. Very quick, very curt back to you. And still she's silent. Yo, my God, what the F is wrong with you? We had a great time tonight. We were dancing, having drinks, and now you're all pouty. All pouty face. You're in a weird mood. Snap out of it. I'm not in a bad mood. I've been thinking, she'll say. Well, then you say, well, as a man, you'll blow it off. And you go, I know, we'll just have one more drink here. We'll watch a little television before we head upstairs and go to bed. And knock her boots off, as they say. Well, she sort of doesn't want you to hug her. Doesn't want you to put your arm around her. You're watching the movie or the TV show. About 20 minutes in. This happened to me before a few times to be mentioned. She'll say to you, fun, or whatever your name is, fill in the blank. We've been dating for a while now, right? Oh, yeah. We've been having a great time. Well, look, we have to talk. We have to talk. Whenever you hear a woman say, we have to talk, in the middle of your TV show or your movie, it's always, always bad. Never any good news, only bad news. In other words, boys, while you've been smoking your cigars, drinking your beers, clocking in, clocking out of work, making that daily wage, paying those bills to take her ass out on the town, she's been thinking. She's been thinking real hard about you. She's been thinking, do I have a future with you? Do you have a future with me? What are we doing here? Because after a while, even the good time girls, you know, with the big doe eyes, luscious lips, pretty girls. It could be the girl next door. It could be the girl you met down the street. It could be even the girl at the convenience store, for God's sake. Wherever you meet her. Or the cigar shop. Or at the Dairy Queen. Who knows? The ice cream girl. Look, at some point, she's going to assess your situation. And she'll say, it's time for us to talk. It's time for us to get serious. And boy, you drop your drink. You probably swallow a few times and you're nervous. And you heard about this, and it's the big ultimatum. And it's coming at you guys like a freight train. It's coming at you hard and fast. Oh, she's been thinking about a lot of things. Unbeknownst to you, you thought she was a cool chick. You thought, man, we're having a blast. We're on the town. We're seeing friends. Going to backyard barbecues. She's been on your arm for 1 to 2 years now, maybe longer, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years. But at some point, every woman, I always say, has a shelf life, like a can of potatoes. Seriously, every woman's got a shelf life. In other words, her clock, not only is her biological clock, but her mental clock, when she wants to assess your dating situation. Because right now, we're on episode 20. We've had 20 chapters into this course curriculum for our collegiate online university and Delta House fraternity. We're moving on. When they were paying for the same real estate choice, we're getting deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole, if you know what I mean. And I know you know what I mean. At some point, she's going to want to know where she stands. Are we going to get married, she'll say. She'll spit it out to you. Do you have any intentions of marrying me? What are your intentions? Oh, my God, you were just having a beer. You just had a great dinner. You wanted a wonderful night, a sex romp. And like the lion of the African safari, you want to roll over and go to bed at some point. Crash. You want to get up in the morning, have a great sumptuous breakfast with her, your lioness, maybe at a nice little bistro down the street, maybe a diner, maybe in your robe, room service style, in your penthouse suite, or your love shack, whatever it is, your trailer, your apartment, your condo, maybe your country clubhouse, whatever. She wants to know. She's drilling for information. Now, here's the catch. She's been thinking about this for 6 months, maybe a year. You haven't. She has the leverage at first. She's been thinking about this. She's sprung it on you. They'll never warn you. They'll spring it on you at the most weird, inconvenient, hormonal, strange time. She wants to spring it on you, and she wants to get a quick answer and analysis. And you just can't say, let's sleep on it, talk about it in the morning. No, she wants to know now, before she goes to bed with you or not. She wants to know. So this happens to every guy sooner or later. Well, I see you guys at the restaurants, the bars. You're all giddy. You're in love, which is great. Awesome. Glad you're happy. Men come in, strutting in with a little lady on their arm. Look at my little pony, my little pretty pony, the man will say. Boy, I got a good one. I got a hot one here. She's a little hottie, a little spinner, whatever. Guy's wearing his cowboy boots, his dungarees, wearing a nice shirt. Or maybe he walks into a bar, restaurant, Soprano style. Nice black, muscle-fitting shirt, flats, dress shoes. Whatever the venue, the girl's looking good. Women have got clothes for everything. Trust me. She's looking really good. So, you as a man, you come home after a nice night. You're having this conversation. And she's going to drill you down. She needs to know that night. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to say about it? If you haven't been thinking about this, you've been dating your lady for a while, you better be thinking about this. You can thank me later. I'm tipping you off because it's coming. The freight train, boys, is coming. And you have no clue you're going to get run over. You're not watching it. She's going to run you over and laugh about it because she wants to catch you off guard. She wants to catch you not ready for all of her questions. And she'll say, we have to talk. We need to have a heart-to-heart talk now. I've got to know now. Again, no warning, no early air raid siren. It just happens. She'll spring it on you because they're hormonal women. And these hormones, these feelings inside her have been festering. Her mother's been bothering her. When's that man going to marry you? I want grandkids. Her girlfriends every week. Well, are you still sleeping with that guy? Are you just a whore to this man? They're busting her chops. When's a man going to make you a legitimate woman? Put a ring on that if he likes it so much. When's this guy going to step up to the plate? What's he going to do? Have you talked about it? Well, no, not really, she says. But I'm thinking about it. And her girlfriends would gang up on her more. Remember, her girlfriends are not your friends. They're her friends looking out for her best interests. Oh, they'll be nice to you. They'll bat their eyelashes at you. They'll be all coy. Artificially nice to you. They're not your friends. Your friends are your friends. Never forget that. But your girlfriend's friends, secretly they hate you as a man because you've been taking her away from their little female posse. They've been partying without her for months. And they're pissed off at you because they want to see something come of this relationship, this so-called girlfriend-boyfriend thing. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Buckle in, guys. It's going to be a good show, a wild show. We do expect some calls tonight. So this is the guide for the married man who's out there, who knows what I'm talking about, but it's also a guide for the single man on the make. To that song, isn't it true? Well, has your woman given you an ultimatum, boys? Is she busting your chops? Is she trying to get into your mind? She's trying to rent more space in your mind? What's going on, man? Hope you have a cocktail by now or an adult beverage. Sitting back in your lazy boy, your Barca lounger, whatever, your sofa, leather seat, your man cave somewhere out there in America. A lot of you guys we know like to listen. We got a lot of hits on the show. You love to listen in. We want you to call 563-999-3437. It's a talk show. Be the talk. You're always looking for a venue or a platform. Well, this is it. And new callers, as always on my show, get in first in line. As a bachelor in America, maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you had a marriage. Maybe you never got married. We are masters of our own domain. Never forget that. And like I told you earlier, it's your life. And it's up to you to make it what you want. No one's going to knock on your door or mine and give you $1 million. Get those crazy thoughts out of your head. You guys got to make it on your own. It's a tough economy. It's Biden inflation's everywhere. It's getting harder and harder. Told you guys years ago, the smart ones listen. You know, this show's on the tip of the spear. We told you when times were good, save your money. Maybe you're dating that little filly. Maybe you might want to settle down there. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just trying her out for speed and you want more. Maybe she's fine for now. She's Mrs. Right now, but not Mrs. Right, if you know what I mean. And I've had many of those. And that's okay. That's okay. Look, your soulmate may or may not be out there. Okay. Hope you meet her. But if you don't, remember that getting married is a very costly endeavor. Any attorney will tell you. Now, the women hate it when I mention this, but it's true. Any attorney will tell you that when you get married, you're forming a corporation, boys. You are forming a legal entanglement, a legal agreement between the male and female, whether you know it or not. Now, they'll gloss it over. They'll make it all flowery and nice. It's about your love for each other. It's about your feelings. It's about your life together. Well, that's all true. But try to break up with that lover, that great lady, and her attorney will call you, Mr. Goldstein or Mr. Cohen, right? Or somebody, Mr. Miller, who knows? My point is, they'll start talking to your attorney about dividing up your estate. And guys, you got to be aware of this. I always tell you, on my show, there's pros and cons to everything in life. You know, we do live, as I say in my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, we live in a couple's world, man. Table for two, double occupancy. You walk into some place, oh, is it just you? Or do you have a date or a wife or whatever? Sometimes you might just want to dine alone. Get some peace of mind. Maybe just text at your table. Thank God for the smartphone. You can read news, stocks, look at your investments while they're preparing your food. Your great order is coming with a smile on his or her face, delivered right to your table. If you give them those little green pieces of paper with dead presidents on them, I always say, yeah, not a bad deal, not bad at all. We'll be thinking about the ultimatum that you got and what you did. What was your ultimatum like? How did it make you feel, Mr. Bachelor? What did she say, and how did she say it? Was the ultimatum reconciled that evening? Or was it not reconciled? Maybe you broke up. Maybe something happened. I don't know. We'll get to all that. Get a cocktail. Those ladies out there, we love them, but they are called the Ambushers, as you well know. Welcome to our show. Gotta love Dino, Dean Martin. Love that.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture of the Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it. Janice Rule, and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink, the edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too much for one Matt Helm, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the Ambushers.
They're the Ambushers.
Oh, yeah, with that, let's get right to our phones tonight on the Bachelor VIP line. We have Paul the Gladiator from North Phoenix. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing good, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. Well, when's the time when a woman has given you an ultimatum, Sir Gladiator? And what was your response and what happened during her big female ultimatum? What are your thoughts,
man,
about that?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about that. So I was lucky because I was a bachelor for many years before I even thought about getting married, which was like at age 35. And I literally didn't allow anybody to give me an ultimatum.
Nice.
I hedged that off at the pass by setting the ground rules for what I was getting out of that relationship. You know what I mean?
Right.
Never let anybody twist my arm to say, I want to go here, I want to do this. Like, no. If you don't want to come here, you can stay home. And I've had many of girls, even women that I lived with, that I'm like, look, this is what I'm doing. If you don't want to do that, me and my friends are going out. You can stay home, you can go out with your friends, but I'm going here. And,
right.
You know, a lot of the times they would stay home. And, it's not like I was going out to cheat on them. I was going out to party with my friends in my, late 20s, early 30s. So, And when I met my now ex-wife, you know, I asked her to marry me after dating her for 2 weeks. So, mm-hmm. you know, I already knew what I wanted. But, you know, I was 35, 36 years old, and I was just ready. And I chose a woman who was never engaged, never married, had no children. Because I knew if I chose a woman with a child already by somebody else, that's too much drama for me. Don't want that. If I chose a woman who had been engaged and got married before, and at that young age divorced, I would have wondered, why is she divorced already? Like, you can't tell me it's always the guy's fault. Like, she's got to have fault. So I never dated a woman who had been married or engaged or had children. And even in my older years here, in my 40s and early 50s, I only dated one woman with a child. And it probably would have worked out. The child was just turning 18 when I met her, and literally moved out of her mother's house like within that year. So, and I dated her for about almost 4. So that was working. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us. But mm-hmm. I never dated any other woman with children. And only, let's see, only one woman who had been divorced like 20 years ago before, like mm-hmm. when I met her, she, you know, and she was only married for less than a year. So, you know, I've literally lived my life as a bachelor, like my whole life almost, except for the, you know, the 2 years that I was married. And for, you know, a good 9 months of that, we were both different coasts anyways. She ended up not wanting to move or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not forcing anything. I had too much invested. So, yeah, never – I was thinking about it as you were doing the monologue. I was like, you know what? I've never had a woman give me an ultimatum. I actually gave not the last girl woman I dated, but the woman before that, I gave her the ultimatum. Mm-hmm. We were seeing each other cool. for a couple of years. Yeah, she was older than me, gorgeous woman, no children, you know, and I said, look, we've been dating a couple of years. We should probably live together at this point, and when we're at that age. And if you don't want to get married, at least, like, let's have some kind of, like, engagement type of thing. And then we'll, you know, we'll move in, reduce cost, save a shitload of money, and just go travel, you know, after in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, I don't want to do that. And I was like, well, I'm out, because I'm not paying to drive to your place, take you out to dinner, go see a movie, come back to your place, screw, and then go home and not see you for 6 days. Like, I wasn't doing that anymore. I was done. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm like, look, you know, that's it. I'm out of here. Like, it's over. And,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I never had a woman put an ultimatum to me. And I'm really racking my brain, bro, and no.
I have. That's why I'm bringing this stuff up. I had some thinking back about my dating career, and
right.
I thought, you know, this is something that comes up. It's come up to me a
right.
few times in my life, and
yeah,
these
me.
Women will just, what they do, they just suck it all in, and then they're in a pouty mood, and you know something's coming. You know something's up. That's why I say it's a freight train. Just boom, it comes out of nowhere. And you're on the track.
Right.
And she's been thinking about this for months. And she'll say, I've been thinking about this. And I want to talk right now. It's happened to me before more than once, 2 or 3 times. And I'm like, you're just, it's like, you know, yeah, you've thought a little bit about it, but you thought that was a year or so away. But no, she's ramped it up. She's changed the goalpost, Paul. She's changed the game in midstream. Now she wants to talk about it. You might have, like,
yeah.
you know, brushed over the subject at dinner. maybe having your French toast and coffee in the morning. You know, right. Talked about it casually, but now she's getting really serious. So I was just curious.
And you've known some of the women, you know? Yeah, you've met some of the women I've dated, and they
right.
are, you know, they've been fairly demure in their
right.
character.
They have been. Right.
And if I say go to the left, they go to the left. So
right.
I've chosen those kind of women.
Right.
But I think I steer away from those women who I can sense might want to flip a domineering approach like that on me.
Right.
Because I think I've sensed it quick enough that I've been like, yeah, this is not going to work out, you know?
Right.
And I always get the why, and I'm like, yeah, we're just different people. And I'll literally, like, tell them things, like, that they cannot refute, and they're like, yeah, but I'll change. And I'm like, no. No one ever changes. And remember this, young bachelors out there, no one ever changes. We don't change, and the women don't change. Only the scenery changes, but people will never change. If you tell
That's
a woman,
right.
I'll be different next time, you're never going to be different next time. If you naturally, like, automatically cheat on women that are your girlfriends, you're always going to cheat. You'll cheat on your wives. You'll cheat on your fiancés because you already cheat on your girlfriends. You're going to push the envelope. So do yourself a favor and don't get in those situations. You can cheat on your girlfriends. That doesn't cost you anything. You cheat on your fiancé, it costs you the diamond ring that you bought. You cheat on your wife, it costs you half of everything you own. So if you're a cheater,
right.
don't get engaged. Don't get married. Just don't do it. Save yourself, you know, the aggravation.
I agree.
I've told my friends that, you know, when I lived back east, I would tell them, don't get married. Like, why? Because it won't last with you. You think you're a gigolo, but every time you're dating somebody that I would be like, wow, I'd fucking love to date her. You cheat on them. Like, so you're not going to get married, you know. You can live with a woman and have a baby with her, but don't get married. Don't put half your bank account and half your belongings up for grabs. You know, that's a key point. Now, you know my take on it. The only reason why I got married is because I wanted to have a family. My thought is, if you're going to have children, get married. If you
I'm
love
the same
her,
way. I'm old school about
yeah.
that. I am old
if
school about
her,
that. Right, right.
Yeah. If you love her and you're going to have children, get married. And that's really the only reason to get married is to try to run that path of building a family together in the hopes that the family won't be torn apart. But you better love that girl. You better love that young lady to the depths of the earth to know that that's the path you want to take. If not, don't marry her and don't have children. Don't give her a reason to come after you financially for 18 years. Nowadays,
right.
these child support things, my friend's having to pay child support in Colorado, lives in Arizona. It's costing him $1,300 a month.
Net cash, guys.
Net after taxes. Right.
That's why I said, yeah, net cash. Yeah, that's every 30 days, guys, you got to kick that money up to the courts.
That's right.
$1,300,
yeah.
man. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. That's $15,600 a year. Start doing
yeah.
the math at $325 a week net out of your paycheck.
Ouch.
How much money are you going to have left?
I know.
You can't live, you know?
I know.
So,
well, that's what they want. They want to impoverish you. The courts
yeah.
impoverish the man, too. And they'll say, well, you know, you got to pay to play, right?
That's,
you knocked
right.
her up. We didn't. So now we're going to collect
right.
off your sorry ass for the next 20 years. Courts don't care, guys. Paul's right.
Yeah.
Courts do not care. I knew two guys at an insurance company years ago here in Phoenix, and one got off pretty easy, paying $600 a month. But it's still $600 a month, and he wasn't making that much. Young guy. Another guy was paying about $1,000 a month. But with inflation and COLAs, you know they're going to be raising those support payments anyway.
Yeah.
Like everything else going up, not going down. You know?
Cost of diapers is going up too, guys. You know, you got to pay it. You got to pay that difference. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the baby supplies are through the roof. And that's when you can get them. You got all these supply shortages, man. You got that to worry about too. Crazy.
Now, nowadays, when you go into the ghetto, you got the drug dealers on one side of the street. You got the baby formula and diaper dealer on the other side of the street. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? It's now supply contraband.
Supply and demand. That's right.
Yeah.
Black market.
You go in a side alley to get your diapers and your, you know, your baby formula.
Baby formula.
You had months where parents couldn't get a baby formula. Well,
In America. Because we shipped it all
in
to
America.
Croatia, Ukraine. We shipped it all over the world, dumb Biden.
Right.
Yeah.
Mexico got it. They had huge shipments of it. Not America.
Yeah.
So if you're a young parent, it is. So I told you guys before, whether you're a bachelor or you love that Thursday show, you got to be prepared, man, because if you're a young parent, if you knocked up a girl, and that baby's coming, man, in 9 months, goes by real fast.
Real fast.
When that baby comes out, all games are over. No more games.
That's right.
Because they'll have a medical record attached to that kid, a federal social security number attached to that kid as a future taxpayer and recipient. The courts will know all about the kid and all about you. And you'll be having to call in to like a probation officer at the court talking about your kid or kids. And when are you going to pay? You know?
Look,
they're
going to
put you on a payment schedule.
It's females of all species. Because as you know, I have a pregnant mare horse who looks at me every day and is like, feed me, you son of a bitch. You knocked me up because I was there today.
That's right.
She got pregnant with the doctor. And I had to walk her around off the drugs for about an hour the day it happened, you know, and the veterinarian, you know, was like, man, he goes, was she holding you up or you holding her up? I'm like, I know, geez, man. It was like, I mean, and she looks at me all the time and, you know, and I overfeed her a little bit, you know, snacks and everything, but she's looking, you know, big and pregnant, but yeah, I can tell she looks at me like, you did this to me. So do whatever you gotta do. Keep me, you know, so yeah, women
you
know.
Take
all
care of me now.
Know. All females know. So, yeah, they all do.
You're right, Paul. God, it's amazing, man. Yeah, they will look. I always tell guys, look, if you are with a woman, you marry her, you knock her up. You're in her eyes. You are the provider. Provider. You provide everything, and if you're with a gal, I always tell guys, if you're going to hook up with a girl, get a worker bee like yourself. You want a girl that can hustle a little bit. I mean, the girl doesn't have to have a degree or two or three degrees. That's silly. You don't want an overeducated woman either. You want a smart girl. You want a girl who's not afraid to work. But if you get the kind of gal, a lot of you guys seem to pick. I'm at the food court at the mall, Paul, and I see these guys. They look like a freight train hit them, like I said in my monologue. They walk around pushing two or three baby carriages, her one big one. She's got one. He's got one. And she's pregnant again.
Right.
And I'm going, boy, that sex better be good, man. Because you look broke. I bet you are broke. You're going to be broke for the rest of your life. So enjoy it now. You know, you got your hands full. And these women just, some of them are like baby factories. But some of you guys pick these women. I'm sure you would agree, Paul, that when she hooks up with you, in her mind, it's game over. I hit the Powerball. You're the provider. I don't have to work. I gave you two kids. She would say, my job is done. All I have to do now is be a mother, a part-time mother. Hang out with my friends half the time, watch video games or Netflix or drink, or she'll do her drugs or get her latest tattoo in America. Well, you're out working two jobs, paying for a sitter that you pray is not a pedophile or something. That's
right.
How a lot of these people live. And it's crazy, man. But if you're carrying around an adult woman for the rest of your life, you know she's an adult. She's a human being. I tell guys 3 meals a day, plus her snacks, plus her drinks. They all drink a lot. I mean, the ones that I've always found do. Or at least they want a lot of expensive drinks and tips. And guess what? It gets better. You come home from work. You're tired. And she'll say, I've been home all day. I want to go out. These kids are driving me nuts. We got to go out. I don't want to cook for you. I'm tired. And you thought you married a little house frog who's going to win. No. She wants to be entertained now. Now it's fun time. You're home, shower, we're going out. Or no sex for daddy tonight.
That's right.
And guys go, well, you know what happens? They always say, you know, if mama ain't happy, I'm not happy.
That's right.
Your girlfriend's not happy, ain't happening, guys. You know it and I know it. So what do you do?
What's the one happy?
You're gonna
happy wife, happy life. Yeah, what's that
the
saying goes, happy wife, happy life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say happy bank account, everything else can just go by the wayside.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Happy bank account really takes care of all the sleeplessness. You know?
It does, doesn't it?
Does.
And guys, if you're lonely, just get a dog.
Yeah.
Get two dogs. Buy a little house with a backyard. Get a dog. I'm telling you, it works wonders. It really does. Get a female dog. Even better.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks a lot, man. What are your final thoughts to the Bachelors of America?
Oh, man. Work hard.
That's a big one,
money.
I know.
Yeah, work hard, save money. If you need sex, just pay for it. You know, a couple hours, a couple $100, what's the big deal? I mean, quite honestly, you know?
Right.
I mean,
it's done all
that,
over the world.
You're going to pay for it eventually. If you have to take a girl out two times to have sex, dinner, drinks, movies, you're going to spend $200 anyways, but now you got a half a commitment where the same money, they just come over, just wear protection, have fun for an hour and a half, kick them out of your flipping house. You never have to see them again. I don't
think.
You see, you can save $50, have the same end result with absolutely no commitment of a phone call, no text messages, no nothing. It's a very simple formula, you know?
I agree. Guys, it's done all over the world. Paul, great, great call, man, as usual.
we'll talk to you
I appreciate
tonight.
You know it. Hey, have a great night, Paul. Thank you, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Love it. Yeah, guys, some words of wisdom there from Paul the Gladiator. I always say this, he's right. I told guys for years, think about it. Either way, you're paying for it, man. Either way. Pick your poison. What do you want? Assess your own life. Do I want a wife? Do I want a girlfriend? Or do I want Mrs. Right Now? It's up to you, baby. It's up to you. Pick your poison. Pick your drink. What do you want to drink tonight at the bar? At the bachelor's den? You're talking among men. Been around a little bit. You know what's going on. This will be this guy that calls the show. The guy that calls the show and doesn't know how to get on the air.
Hey, I was trying to get through on your caller line there, man. You know, this is the dude, man. And just talking about, you know, current events, man. You know, what's going on. Our governors, man, the mayors want us to be couch potatoes, you know, because of the virus, man. I understand that, man. You know, so I just sit out there and smoke a J, you know, and try and be mellow. You know, people have lives and jobs and careers, but you can think of me as Agent Zero from the SOFA Security Administration, man. Yeah, Agent Zero, man. I come without war or violence, you know, like Antifa, man. We don't need no violence or war. You know, peace, man. You know, peace, love, dove, man.
Peace, love, dove. I've heard that in a while. Love that. Well, you know, it's like that movie Casablanca. We love vintage movies on the show, and I've got a big movie collection. And actually, the holidays, what I like to do is in the winter months, I might plan a few ski trips, but I will sit here and have a good dinner and watch a movie or two every week to catch up. And they sound a bit like this.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Yeah, I'm trying to reach through to, you know, the Vaughn, you know, big guy on the show. This is Carl. You know, I've been working as greenskeeper, assistant head greenskeeper, you know, for a long time. But everything going on right now is kind of interesting, you know what I mean, in the world stuff. But I just wanted to call up, you know, on the caller line, but I got transferred so that I leave a message or something like that, you know, try it back. But I just wanted to tell you that, you know, hey, I'm a big fan, you know, I'm long-time caller, you know, first-time listener, and, you know, a lot's going on. And people can, you know, keep up with what's happening, obviously, by, you know, listening to wise people in the world, and your show being one of them. And I just wanted to say, you know, above all else, I'm a survivor, you know. Through it all, I am a survivor. And, you know, I did survive the toilet paper crisis of 2020. And I just want to make that clear to everybody because, you know, I am a survivor. So, hey, man, you know, this is Carl saying, dude, we'll catch you later sometime. I got to practice my golf swing over there, you know what I mean? So, anyway, all right, man, we'll be listening.
Dial in 563-999-3437. The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy of Von Weehunt.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, and she had to walk into the one I was occupying. I was sitting there listening to Von on the radio, you know, the Von Weehunt show. Well, she came in and sat down, and I told the bartender, let's give her a drink, run a tab on my fare. She sat down, looked right at me. She was gorgeous. I took a drag off my lucky strike and blew it the other way. I sure as hell was going to blow it in her face. She was amazing. I said, you mind, honey? I'm right in the middle of a show here listening to it. She said, no problem. She joined in. We listened to Von Weehunt's show together. It was quite a time.
Think about all your dates, guys. All your girlfriends, all the presents you buy them, all the drives across town, across this big valley, might cost you 50, 60 bucks in the wear and tear in your car just to go to a place to get some nookie, have a little entertainment, I call it, some female entertainment with your girlfriend. You know what I mean. Going to go over there, hang out for a while, nap with her, whatever. Playhouse, whatever phrase suits your fancy. What's all that cost? All the gifts, trinkets, presents. Yeah, you guys, I see you around town. I'm watching you on the Ultimate Observer. Seeing the mall. Everyone's out holiday shopping at the mall last week. Saw you guys pushing your baby carriages. You look like a freight train hits you in the face. I mean, there's like no life in you. You're a zombie. You got roped into something. You had a lot of fun with your gal pal. And she leads you through the store. You're a beta male. You're a cuck. Don't even know it. Honey, let's go over here. Okay. Honey, let's go over here. Okay. You hooked up with a real headstrong woman who's going to lead you around by the nose. You got 20 years of that, maybe 30, maybe 40. Hard to bail out anytime before 20 years. 18 legally by the courts, but did you know in some states you also owe for that kid's college education every penny of it? That means that kid can be in school for 4 more years. You might owe, and then when they get out, you're going to love your kid, of course, as you should. But the kid is going to need some help, your son or daughter, more cash, more money. It never ends. And that is the vicious circle of life, if you really want to know about it. You guys will be taking care of your kids forever. Because your kid's going to get out of school. Hear about it every day. Generation Z, the millennials. Now they have Generation Y. It's just been born. And these kids can't find jobs. And they quit jobs when they get angry, when they get emotional. Because their teachers taught them they deserve a trophy when they haven't earned it. And guess what? You are the provider. They're going to come back to you. Daddy, I need money. I need some cash. Why, son? You've been working 2 jobs. Where's all that money gone? Oh, I don't count that money, Dad. That one of my Camaro, my trip to Mexico, and parties with me and my friends and my girlfriend du jour. Oh, okay, son. Because you've paid out for a long time. It's a payout plan that the women know about because the women talk. They communicate. They get intel on you guys, and they target you at a young age. I was targeted. Women knew I was going places and doing things, and I love women. Like them a lot. Like them so much. In fact, I love women so much, I can't have just one. Drum roll, please. How about those apples? I love them so much, can't have just one. I want to make them all happy. So therefore, in the final analysis, you can only make yourself happy. And that's what I did. And that's the way to roll. Otherwise, you're just another guy pushing a baby stroller, looking like a freight train just hit you. You know what I mean?
Another day, another man. This is the story of women who thought they earned their money the easy way, only to find that they had to pay for their sins. Sex without shame. see lust. Raw, naked violence. In the boldest and most intimate scenes ever shown on any screen, in Another Day, Another Man. These are the women who fight for their men, where another man means another dollar. They have no scruples. They're corrupt and immoral. As their passions run riot. They live only for the excitement of each day. For the pleasures of each night. If you want to see a film that strips away all conventions, that dares to tell all, then you must see Another Day, Another Man.
That's right. You know quarterback Tom Brady and his wife Giselle? Well, they're getting a breakup. What's that going to cost them, boys? Millions of dollars. He's got a great family. I like Tom Brady. Great quarterback, by the way. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wow. He's brought them up from New England Patriots. But Tom Brady, you know, he and his wife are going to split. Sylvester Stallone, another celebrity in Hollywood, is going to split with his wife. You've heard of the Johnny Depp trial of last summer. We all watched that. We're talking about that on the show. Even though Johnny Depp won that case, still the divorce cost him some cash. These Hollywood guys are getting divorced left and right. That's what I don't understand. If you're a Hollywood guy, seriously, you're listening to the show out there in Hollywood and you're swing Bel Air, Beverly Hills Mansion, or your Malibu beach house, why in the F do you even need a wife? You got all the women at your beck and call. You got handlers, VIP velvet rope guys that can bring in the groupies. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know you want a woman who has substance. You want something deeper. My point to you is, with the state of American women today, are they really any deeper in many cases than a groupie or a girl you'd meet at a club anyway? Really? Really? Some are. And there are some real gems that are out there. The problem with American society is those girls, the good ones, they get sucked up real fast. And I mean really fast. High school, college, they're gone. They're off the market. History. Sayonara, baby. And so you're left with the women that were not picked up in high school, college, or shortly thereafter. And they're hot mid-20s. Now you're 40. She's 35, say. I used to ask these girls, why do you want to marry me? I've been proposed to many times by a woman. They would say, do you want to get married? I'd say, not right now. Let's see how things go first. Seriously. Just met you. I use their lines against them. I just met you. I don't know you that well yet. But with these chicks, when you're dating them, pick wisely, guys. Choose wisely. And don't marry the first thing you see. But I used to ask these women, what did you do from age 18 to 35? You must have met thousands of guys. You mean nobody asked you to get married? nobody wanted to be with you? And wait for their answer. See what they say. It's fascinating. Well, I was busy. That's code for she was whoring around behind her boyfriend's back. Or she'll say, I was working on my career. That's code for I was on the college campus for 10 years, whoring around with frat guys and dorm guys, off-campus guys, whatever, the professor, who knows, right? You got to translate what she says into layman's terms. Trust me, I am the female translator. Whatever they say, I used to decode it for my friends. She really means this. I studied as a young boy, my mother, her friends, and my older sister and her friends, who were always over at the house. And boy, did I get hear an earful, and man, did I listen. Now, I played sports. I had a good time, but my sister was always throwing slumber parties and bringing over 5-10 girls who were about 6, 7, 8 years older than me at the time. But what if you're a young guy, what a fantastic education that is. You learn the intricate female mind at a young age, how they view the world, how they view men. Many of them view you as a walking ATM machine. You're just the dude du jour right now, to be honest. The girl you're dating, does she really love you? Or is she just telling you that? She's snowing you because she wants a ring. She wants to quit her job. She's tired of working. And she wants you to be the provider. Think about that. Think hard about that. You want to carry around a human being for the next 30 or 40 years and pay all of her bills, her health care, her trips back to her family. She'll look to you to pay for everything. Talked to a friend of mine in Vail this week who's called the Monster when he calls our Thursday show. And the Monster told me, he goes, Vaughn, last year I had to pay out $22,000 in medical expenses for my wife. And I go, better you than me, with a laugh. Better you than me is my phrase. I said, Rob, you signed up for that. This is what happens. You are a volunteer. You took one for the team. Good for you. Good for you. Don't bitch about it now. He's got a great kid, a boy. But he's really getting tired of his wife. Shows. He will remain nameless, of course. So I just made up his name, Rob the Monster. It's not his real name. But anyway, these guys are out there. And these are real stories, real expenses, real bills coming into your home. These days, having a family, they estimate any Harvard or Princeton study or Yale will cost you minimum $350,000 to $500,000 per kid. You add up every expense from birth to kindergarten. And that it's a drop in the bucket to the expenses of your wife. This is just the kids we're talking about. Millions of dollars over the course of your life. Are you willing to do that? Like Paul said, you better love her. I tell guys, you better love her down to your bones. You better love the ground she walks on. You better see her in the moonlight. She better be the love of your life. Because if she's not the love of your life, I don't recommend marriage to her. I don't recommend it. To my book, there's 3 reasons to get married. Only 3 reasons. And one in particular. that we talked about. If you have a burning desire to get married, if you have a burning desire to have a family with her, kids need, yeah, you can have a kid outside of wedlock, sure. But seriously, kids need a good family structure. But guys get married to have a family, a traditional family, put it that way, traditional. Second reason, you're in love with her, can't live without her. You seriously cannot live without her in your life. It's a real serious thing. Okay, that can be a valid reason for some of you guys. And the best reason is you marry her because she has more money than you. It's 1% of all guys. You find a girl who's a millionaire. Like my mom used to say to little Vaughn, she'd say, son, it's just as easy to marry a rich woman as it is a poor one. Don't forget that. And while you're thinking about that, get a cocktail, put a splash of numero uno cologne, because in your life, it's about you as you are numero
search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold, numero uno green, numero uno red, numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes, all different, all wild. Find yours with a searcher kit, a jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno!
I always wear a numero uno cologne. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
For the streets, bring it back. For the hood, bring it back. For the beat, bring it back. For the track, bring it back. For the streets, bring it back. For the hood, bring it back. For the beat, bring it back. Work the meals on the floor. For the streets, bring it back. For the hood, bring it back. For the beat, bring it back. For the track, bring it back.
Hey, they ain't know I even rap like this. They ain't know that I could snap like this. Adidas ones in the club, got them thinking now. Get the fuck about my way when I'm swinging now. You don't play no position in this rap game. You just get the towel, where's my water main? I rip the triple lap, and that 33. I got that focus flow, call it hot tea, or that hot. It's the same.
Oh, yeah. A little bit early on the show tonight. Gosh, well, on this show, this is the most politically incorrect show you'll ever listen to in your life. The show your mother warned you about in the Radio Octagon, where we're always glad you're here in our radio fraternity. You're going to hear things on this show, guys, that you don't hear anywhere else, based on my book and the show's name. And you're going to go through life. And it's all about making great decisions, and especially in your personal life. What I always found intriguing was they teach you in school to take tests, quizzes. They teach you about careers, career paths, in depth, man. They teach you about things happening, hear about current events, hear about federal and state laws they teach you about, all kinds of infomercials they teach you about, various things. Now, when it comes to, America's real funny, when it comes to relationships, especially from a man's point of view, they tell you about dating, they tell you about marriage, pros and cons. Everyone is mum's the word. Men used to get information from their father, their uncle. If you don't have that going for you, This is your show. We are your father, your uncle, your brother. We're your little brother and your big brother and your best friend, all rolled into one. Use it. Take advantage of it. It's a great show for you guys. But you guys are out there in the wilderness. These women are eyeing you up and down. They're sizing you up. Will you be a suitor or not? Not all women are calculating, but many are. Many are. Many are loving. They're awesome. Women are a blast to be around. Fun. I enjoy their company, sincerely. But as a man, you're not told how to assess these situations. In our society, it's discouraged. They don't want you to ask those questions. They don't want you to reflect or think about your life. Do you want to be a dad? Do you not want to be a dad? Do you want to join the army? Do you want to join the priesthood? Do you want to go into business? Whatever. Start your own company. They sure the hell don't tell you about your personal life. And that's where a lot of guys fail. I've met a lot of guys. They got a great raging business. They make lots of money. I know a few in Dallas, my old stomping grounds. Some out there in L.A. too. And Florida. And up north. But man, when you start talking to them, they're about to get divorced. Your son or daughter hates them. They're being sued at work for various things. Maybe it was deserved, maybe it wasn't. But their personal life is in shambles. They have the public front. Everything is rosy and good. Personal life, behind closed doors, is bad. It's not that great. And they call me, Uncle Vaughn, what should I do? All I can tell them is what I can tell them. I tell some of these guys, you're in this thing deep, man. You're stuck. Sad to say. I advise you to start drinking heavily and seek legal counsel in most cases. And with that, let's get to Brett the Surfer. Surfing off the coast of America tonight. How you doing, Brett?
How you going, Vaughn?
Good, man. Good. Well, in the monologue, I'm doing great. In the monologue, we were talking about girlfriends that might have given you an ultimatum before you got married. Did any girl ever give you an ultimatum to get married or else back in the day?
I think I did have a couple of those ultimatums, but I didn't
I knew
you
it.
Know some of those I you know or I had one that was you know I needed to join the particular religion but I was like, I don't know about that, you know. And I don't know. It depends how much, if I was really, I wasn't madly in love with her, but she did say that. And I said, oh, really? Well, yeah, I don't think we'll keep going
right
out, you know, or if there was an ultimatum, I don't drink anymore, but I think back in the day, if someone had said, you know, you can't have a beer or something
sure
like that, or a shot of tequila or whatever, you know, that might have been a reason, you know, but maybe they didn't like you drinking coffee or something like that. That would be something that'd be a no-go. You know, I have to have my coffee every morning,
right,
you know, or, you know,
me
every
too
once in a while I'll have a cigar,
hell yeah,
good cigar.
Right.
But, you know, if someone, you know, it's just, if someone said you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to fork over, $1 million and then we can start talking. You know, that's going to be
literally,
you know, something
yeah
like that. But
show me your checkbook, she'll say. Show me your checkbook.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think any woman that would, I think you would know, you wouldn't even have to, I don't know. If someone gave you an ultimatum, you're usually the best thing to do is to run. I think that would be my advice. Because I don't know how many guys would say, oh, okay, I'll go ahead and do that, you know, or.
A lot of them do.
I don't know.
A lot of them do is my show premise. A lot of guys are beta males, and they'll be lit around the nose by the woman. I always say this, as I said in my monologue, pretty much about, I will be more succinct here. On my show, guys, we're teaching you to do not negotiate with terrorists. It's the United States policy for international hijackers. These women are hijackers of your life. They are terrorists. We do not negotiate with terrorists on my show. When they give you an ultimatum, ever, from a terrorist, we blow them up. We do not negotiate with them at all. That's how you do it. If you can't do that, well, you'll be a cuck for the rest of your life. That's how it works.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's not the way, you go in as a partnership. If you can find someone that's going to respect you, you respect them, that's the way. That's a good marriage, if you're going to do that.
Right.
If you're going to go that route, but it starts out with ultimatums or something like that, it's already not really to a good start, there has to be mutual.
What do women say to you? Let's break it down further. What do women say to you? How they approach you? What do they say? Do they say, we have to talk? Break it down for us.
I think
act like you are. You're writing this scene for a movie. How would you write it? You're on. Action.
I don't know. How would I write it? Well, I would say that there were times, maybe we got on a couple of dates. If we're going to continue dating, I think we need to do this, or I need to only go. You can't cook for me or anything like that. I'm not going to cook for you. We need to go out to expensive restaurants.
Wow.
That would be a real. I'd be no, that's not going to work. You have a nice night, but
that happened to you.
I think.
Is that what Tia said to you back in the day? I'm not going to cook for you, and you won't cook for me, but I do expect expensive restaurants going forward, young man.
It was more that when she did cook, it was like very basic, like something like, man, I barely even wanted to eat it. But this was a girlfriend
it
I had one time.
Basin,
and,
it sucked.
And it was, yeah, we I need to go to these higher end restaurants. I want to go, we're going on a hike, or we'll come back, we'll get ready, and we'll go to this fine dining place instead of just, hey, let's go out somewhere after a hike and go get a hamburger or something. It was just, had to be kind of formal, and it just got to the point where it was just something that, if I can never relax, if we can't just go out camping sometime, maybe, or, if we always have to go out to, to these restaurants, I don't know. It just seemed too formal. And as, being a surfer
restaurant
and a beach going guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a beach going guy. I love restaurants, but my thing is guys want a gal. For all you women that are listening out there, we know you're out there. We want you to be a pizza girl once in a while. We want you to be a hamburger girl, taco girl, pun intended, and maybe a fine dining girl once a month. Not every day, not every night.
Yeah.
You got to mix it up, ladies.
For lunch and
dinner. No one owes you a five-course meal with candlelight, every damn night. I mean, these women are spoiled. A lot of guys are throwing money at them and got nothing in return. They're bad investments. When you find those women like Brett did, you cut and run. Hop back on the surfboard, man. Catch a wave.
Yeah, and until you meet the right one, and when you meet the right person, you can enjoy your time together, whether it's a picnic. And who doesn't know? You can get some great meats and have a great picnic, or do creative things, it's just, anyway, that was the person I'm with now. I'm able to, you know, be formal, go out to nice dinners, you know, every once in a while, but it doesn't have to be like an everyday thing or you know,
right.
you just need to be comfortable. So I'm with someone that I'm comfortable with.
We're going
with,
to Morton's every day for lunch, Brett, for the rest of your life, and you will pay for it because you are the provider, damn it. As she talks to you like Jabba the Hutt, as she gets bigger and bigger like Jabba the Hutt.
I love
that Star Wars flick.
Just like you do. Yeah, yeah. But we go to a great steakhouse, but like I said, once a month or something, you know.
I love a fancy. Those are fun to go to once in a while. Get the shrimp cocktail, get a ice cold beer or a glass of wine, get a nice filet. You're damn right. You got to treat yourself, guys. You can't take all the money with you. Trust me. You're not a pharaoh. I know a lot of guys, they accumulate. I know a guy in Dallas who's got like $10, $15 million. He's a friend of a friend of a friend. I know his name is Peter. All the guy does is work. He never enjoys his $10, $15 million, which I had even one of those. I don't. But my point is, this guy's going to die, a rich man. He's not going to he's all this money will be given to somebody, or it'll be in probate. Somebody is going to get it. It's not going to be him. Those guys die of a heart attack at their desk time and time again. They work so hard.
Unless they've got
they build
kids,
up a fortune.
You know, or...
And they never spend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got $1.
You can't be a miser. You gotta enjoy. You know, gotta enjoy.
He's a miser
here. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
We're all passing through town, man.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets out of here alive. Nobody gets to stay, unfortunately. I would live forever if I could. So I think it would be fascinating to see what happens.
I'd love
to see what's over the hill. What's going to happen next? I'm curious by nature, but unfortunately, you know, but that's beside the point. But tell me about your other ultimatum, Brett. I want to hear about it. She laid the law down, the Brett, the surfer.
Well, it was,
what
it
happened?
Was after about, it was probably, we had been dating for about a couple months. And she said I needed to, if we were going to continue, you know, if we were going to get married, you know, I'd have to join my religion. I'm like, oh, no, that's not what I'm going to be doing.
You got to stop going to
your
religion. You're at church. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a terroristic threat made to Brett the Surfer.
Yeah.
God.
And,
what else
you know,
did this cretin say?
I just thought that was somewhat militant anyway. You know,
very
I
militant.
Say she's a nice girl, but after that,
they're all nice girls
going anywhere.
Until they show their terroristic tendencies, Brett. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Yes. It's true. It's true, man. You know, and you're going to know when you meet a person that you think is going to be
right.
a great partnership, and I'm going to go forward.
Exactly.
You know, and you have to think in it with a business mindset, too. You know, how are we – Is this person conservative, financially speaking, or liberal, or do they bring something to the table? Is it going to be symbiosis,
right.
you know, here? You know, just those are important things. You know, you need to be able to, just like when you're going into a business, or if you're going to buy into a business, you know, do I want to be with these guys? Is this going to be a profitable venture for the future? You know, and you always have to think long term, you know, see the big picture, be a big picture type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, where are we going from here? You know, unless that's not your thing, you know, and you want to do other things, you know, but you know, you never cave. You can't just cave and give in you know, I don't know if it's there used to be a term like, you know, just kind of, when you give in and just, okay, I'm going to be with them because I don't want to waste more time trying to meet someone else. So I'll stay in this relationship, even though it might be toxic, I think. And be giving an ultimatum, that sounds like a toxic relationship to me, right?
Right. And so what else did she demand from Brett the Surfer? She said, stop going to your religion. And what else? I want to know her list of demands, Brett.
She didn't say that. She didn't
I'm going to beat it out of her.
She just said, she said that she, you know, I'd need to join her religion, you know, and I was like, okay.
What
well,
was her religion?
What's happening? So, well,
so what was her religion?
Thing is, well, she was at the time, and this is going to be really funny for me to say this, but at the time she was Catholic. And what happened to me? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I've been married 15 years, so 16 years ago I met someone and everything checked out right. And, you know, it's been 15 years. But anyway, long story short, I am Catholic now. But anyway, I did join the Catholic Church. But I will tell you that back then, I considered myself, you know, just I really wasn't religious. So I was kind of agnostic.
I'm a Roman as well. So go ahead.
So, you know, and but anyway, at that time it was a very, it was just an example of an ultimatum that I was like at that time, you know. Plus, she just didn't. There were other things that just weren't matching up, you know. So that was one of the things. But that ultimatum, still, when you tell someone they have to, if it's not their religion, if they don't have any interest in that at that time, you know, then, you know, that was. That's just a bad deal. It was a bad thing at that time. But, you know, I have to tell you, though, my wife never gave me any ultimatums. So when the time came and, you know, actually my wife, you know, after I think it was probably 8 years of marriage. But anyway, that was when I decided to, you know, become Catholic because she wanted to get married in the Catholic Church. So I know this is a Bachelor show, but. You know, for those people that eventually do decide to, you know, that's kind of what happened to me. But anyway, that was an ultimatum at the time that I really didn't appreciate. Another one, though, at the time, like I said, I quit drinking about 11 and a half years ago. But at the time, I really had a love affair with wine and tequila and all different kinds of beers, you know. So I did have an ultimatum that, you know,
love that.
Hey, you know, you're not going to drink anymore if we're going to be together. And honestly, I would have to say that if I did stop, it would have been a great thing. But at that time, that was an ultimatum that I could not live up. So I said, see ya, you know, on that. And then,
I'm
in love
with the bar, baby, not you. You're optional,
back then,
but the bar is
back
with me.
Then, yeah,
never forget that,
but
guys.
Like I said, I would never
like
recommend that. It almost killed me drinking. So, yeah, too many
kidding.
You know, but I got
drink in moderation.
You,
don't drink and drive.
Everything in moderation. But you know, here's the bottom line: if anybody gives you an ultimatum, you run, because it sounds like they're not respecting your opinions, you know. So anyway, that's my surfer perspective on that. So
I like the surfer perspective, man. Well, we all have seasons in our life. At that season, you were in love with the bar, the shot of tequila, the kamikaze shots, the little bit of whiskey, a little bit of wine, the elixir of life, right? I get it. I used to hang out at college bars at Purdue.
You know, yeah.
I used to live in the college bars at Purdue. Those and frat houses and off-campus parties, I used to raid with my friends every weekend night.
Yeah,
we knew where all the hotspots were, and we just made the rounds. And whatever happened, those were good times, man. Unbelievable. Well, Brett the Surfer, I like your stories of the ultimatums. And, guys, never negotiate with terrorists, because you, too, can be married to a nice woman now like Brett the Surfer. And Brett,
God, oh, man.
What are your final thoughts to America, sir?
I just say keep fighting
the Bachelor,
man, and you know, keep it real and enjoy life, man, every day, because every day is, you got to grasp every day like it's your last, and don't give in to ultimatums, you know. Don't lose sight of your dreams and your goals, you know, and whatever that is. Those are my final thoughts, brother.
I agree. We don't negotiate with terrorists, and if she gives you a list of demands, dump that bitch. Move on. Dump her. Have fun with your guy friends and find a new one. Get the concept of next in your mind. If you lose your girlfriend, yeah, it sucks for a little while, day or two or an hour or two. Depends on your mood. But move on. There's plenty of fish in the sea like your dad told you. And get the whether you're working or dating, if you lose your job, next company. If you lose your girl, next girlfriend. Next. Your wife should be keepers, right? Till death do you part. But beside that, be flexible out there. Don't get too tied down, boys. You want to have a good time in life. You want to enjoy it while we're here.
Poor, because I don't ever
want to
be poor.
Then you won't.
I decided right then and there I wasn't going to live like that. I needed to get as far away as possible. I moved to California in the summer of 1968 with the tuna. We had $300 and a black TR-3. There sure was nothing like this back home. It was paradise. We got a small one-bedroom apartment right on the beach. Wasn't much, but it had its price.
George.
You need some help?
California was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Hey, what's the deal?
People were liberated, independent, full of new ideas. They used words like right on, groovy, solid. Women were beautiful, and they all seemed to share the same occupation.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
Yeah, on the airplane.
Well, these American women today, and women all over the world, they're all international. If you don't kowtow to them, and obey their list of commands. Remember, the ultimatum, guys, I'll just break it down for you, is your first honey-do list. The ultimatum is your first honey-do list. She gives you a list of demands. I want you to do this, this, and this. And by God, you better do it, she'll say. And if you do that, you go, well, great. I'll get this guy wrapped up. He's my starter husband. In my starter home with my starter family. He'll do for now. Then when you get married, she gives you a honey-do list. Every weekend, your time is already accounted for and spent. Saturday, we're doing this, honey. Sunday, we're doing this. You can never talk to your bachelor friends again. They're a bad influence on you because now you're under my female DEFCON 5 control. So a lot of the American women act. They wonder why these things are out there. Men can win their own way. Well, I say if she meets the right girl, marry her. Be the best dad you can be. Be all you can be, like the Army. Do it, like Nike says. But don't do it half-assed. Either do it or don't do it. Black and white. There are shades of gray. But in your life, you want clarity as much as possible. Leave shades of gray to others. In your life, you want to know, are you coming or going? Are you doing it or not? And if not, why? Figure it out, they'll tell you. And you need to figure it out for yourself. That's the way it goes. And if you don't do it, she'll say, you're a loser, right? You're a loser. Women love it. Well, maybe she's a loser. Oh, can't say that, can you? Can't think critically of women in America. How dare you? She'll say, like little Greta, how dare you? I am mad that you said that, Bonnie Hunt. How dare you? Well, it's true. Women are imperfect human creatures. They have their foibles, their vulnerabilities, And they're not perfect. And don't think they're perfect. You got to approach women with common sense. Know what you're dealing with. Know what kind of a woman she is. Know her background. If she's your mark, go for it. But don't let her call you a loser, boys. You're better than that.
This chick's out for kicks and in for trouble with the born losers.
Just how is the mom initiated?
By getting it from everybody.
We're not coming out of orbit for 3 days.
Look at this! 600 simoleons!
These are the born losers, the sickest sickle gang that ever terrorized a town while the law stood helpless.
If only one of us had the guts to just cut them down.
I've been wanting to crack at you from the beginning.
Are you planning on fighting or talking me to death?
Mr. District Attorney, any truth to the rumors that the girls will refuse to testify?
Remember, all you need is one witness to obtain an indictment.
Born losers, and they know it.
Please, don't do that.
How about a pretty please on your knees?
On your knees?
Billy Jack, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do.
God, love those 1960s biker movies. Get a cocktail. Be back in a few minutes. Thought you would enjoy this song from America's Retro Bachelor Past. Gotta love that Iron Butterfly once in a while, late 1960s. Well, before a man settles down in America and gets married with 2.2 kids in the suburbs, he's a rogue bachelor. We will teach him the ways of his Viking fathers and talk in depth about what he needs to do in order to be a success in life. It's the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show, kiddo. Every first Tuesday of every month, 8 p.m. Mountain or Pacific Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, baby. You are the equal opportunity offender. Well, a man recently wrote the show. He said, on this show, he says, one can learn so much from this ultimate bachelor's guide. It is a well-organized, well-written, well-thought-out book for anyone, really. As I turned the pages, I couldn't keep myself from smiling and laughing and learning. It was quite amusing how I discovered characteristics of all my male friends lying right in the pages and text of the book, he writes. After reading it, I thought it was a great gift for me and a perfect gift for my older brother, who recently turned 21. This book really got me interested in life and living. The Von Wiegand Way, and I attended several other seminars similar, he said, learned a lot, but I loved the book. I recommend the book for both men and women of all ages. I just want you to know that. Awesome. Awesome book, he writes. Steve from Florida. Thank you, Steve. From Florida, been down there many, many times. Appreciate that. Very, very cool, man. Well, as you go through life, you got to enjoy the women in your midst. You guys are young. It's like picking an apple off the tree. They're everywhere. My God, on a college campus, they said that 60% of the college students now are women. If you want to meet a woman, go to college, guys. The odds are in your favor by 10%. Simple math for those in Apache Junction. Go to college, enroll. Even tech schools, trade schools, what America really needs, filled up with women learning construction now. Got young girls in welding class. Get involved. Go to a trade school if you don't want to do college or university. Women are everywhere. What's funny is you go through life, it's like a funnel. When you're young, you're at the tip of that big part of the funnel. Each year that you grow up and you so-called mature, each successive year, the funnel gets tighter and tighter. The funnel becomes more narrow, and you'll find out that you meet less and less women. You have a different job. Maybe you're behind a desk. Maybe in COVID, a lot of social events were canceled. But the funnel gets tighter and narrower. And the older you get, the worse it gets. So when you're young, enjoy the apples off the tree. Pick all you want. Eat all you want. Grab all you want. They're there for the picking, guys. In your late teens and 20s, life's a bowl of cherries. And in the decade of your 30s, you're doing your career, maybe a marriage, maybe your second one, maybe you're dating pretty seriously, you're thinking about marriage, or not getting married at all. Like I said, if you're not in love with her, and if she isn't worth $20 million, I don't recommend it, to be honest, unless you want a family. That's a whole different game. Your 40s, you're getting established. You're making things happen. And you're really fine-tuning your life. In your 50s, it should be your fabulous 50s. It's in my book. You want to be much more well-established. By then, you should have some coin saved up. Have a few assets. Have some variety. Be diversified. Have your career going like a Lear jet or a fighter jet cutting through the sky. Afterburners are on and you're moving. Mach 5. your young 60s, you're still going strong. People are going strong now to 80 or 90. Love talking to older people, older men especially. They have a wealth of wisdom. Now, when I was in the office, I always talked to the older guys, hit them up for information, talk to them, the intel, have lunch with them. The young guys are great. They're great for a joke. They don't know much about life. When I was a young guy in corporate America, I wanted to learn about life. I wanted their real hard-knock stories for them to tell me so I could avoid the minefield. And, man, I learned a lot. And many of those guys helped me out in my career. They had connections and networks I did not even know about. They showed me a whole new world. And they're a wealth of wisdom, but their view of women, marriage, children is just priceless. Talk to them when you can. My best advice. You'll learn a lot. You'll have a lot of fun. And it'll be much, much better for you, too. Well, guys, we're at the end of our program day, pretty much. Hope you enjoyed the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. As you learn on this show tonight, beware of ultimatums. Do not negotiate with terrorists. You've heard Paul the Gladiator. You've heard Brett the Surfer. You've heard your great host, Von Weehunt. You learned a lot, hopefully. You've had a good time. A great way to spend 2 hours. We thank you all for being here. Don't forget this Thursday's show. Same time, 2 days. I broadcast each week from my mountain stronghold here in Arizona. Onwards to the Bachelor Empire and beyond. We thank you all for being here tonight. God bless you all. We'll talk soon. Next month is episode 21 of the show. Take care. Have a great night. Good night.
America, good night.